Right. Oh, that's quite loud. Children are going out for their time together. This is very unusual to have one person leading worship and speaking, but just the way it worked out with various things this week, with New Day and so on. I wonder if we can have the air. Thank you, James. Okay, so for those of you that are a part of our church family and been here regularly over the last few weeks, know that we've just been doing a short summer series entitled How To, where we're looking at some basic things of kind of Christian discipleship and what God's invitation is to us and his call on our lives is. This morning, it's my privilege just to chat for a few minutes about how to explain the gospel. I guess the kind of the first obvious question is what is the gospel? What do we mean by the word gospel? It's one of those Christian words that we kind of use. That way, if you mention it to someone who's not a Christian, doesn't come to church, and probably may not have ever heard of it. The root of the word, as you would expect, as all good Bible scholars would know in the New Testament, is from a Greek word, and the noun form of the Greek word means good news. So basically, gospel means good news. I'm sure lots of you knew that. And the verb form then is to bring good news or to announce good news. So it's basically about delivering a message of victory. That was the kind of the context that it was used. It was a message of victory or other kind of political or personal news that was going to bring great joy to somebody. It's always nice, isn't it, when you can bring good news to someone and you know it's going to light their face up and they're going to be really excited to receive it. That's what the gospel means. It means being able to bring and announce news of great joy. That is going to light someone's life up. In the Bible, of course, it's not just any old news, is it? It's not just any old good news that we talk about and we think about when we think of the gospel. It's the gospel of Christ. It's the gospel of Jesus. That's what the Bible says. And not just the gospel of Christ, the gospel of Jesus, but the gospel of the glory of Christ. The message of great news that we have to announce is about Jesus, and it's about his glory. And Paul, when he writes to the church in Ephesus, he talks about when we declare the good news, when we declare the gospel, what we're doing is an announcement of the unsearchable riches of Christ. So it's not only good news about Jesus and his victory over death and sin and darkness and evil. It's actually good news that connects us with Jesus himself and brings us into an everlasting and ever-increasing joy in Jesus. Unsearchable riches doesn't mean that we can never fathom it, we can never get our heads around it. It means that God has prepared an eternity of us discovering more and more and more of the glory of Jesus. It opens up for us, the gospel, the unsearchable riches of Jesus for us to treasure. And this good news is Jesus. The gospel is Jesus. It's not a gospel about Jesus. It is Jesus. It opens up to us the unsearchable riches of Jesus' glory. And it's offered to all. And you know, we get the joy and the privilege of being the messengers of this good news. No one likes to deliver bad news, do they? Well, perhaps some people do. They've just got a mean streak. But we don't, I can tell. You're very nice people. You love to deliver good news, don't you? And we have the best news in the whole universe to share with others. That opens up to people the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. That they can then spend an eternity exploring and delighting in, just as we have that privilege. So the Bible says, well, with a message this amazing, this valuable, this incredible, this exciting, this important, He says there's an urgency that should be in our hearts. And Scripture says to us, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. And what's the reason for the hope we have? It's Jesus. It's Jesus, isn't it? That's the glory of the gospel. That is what we have to share. So why is there this sense of urgency? Why does Peter say in his letter, always be prepared, always be ready to kind of give the reason for the hope that you have? Why is this sense of urgency needing to be ready when God provides us the opportunities to share this good news? First of all, because people don't know. Do you know that? People do not know about Jesus. And this is, I think, one of the key things of why, that prophetic word about the under 25s is important. It doesn't mean that it excludes anyone over 25, but there is a generation that is growing up that knows nothing about Jesus. You might not have been brought up in the church as a youngster, but you will have had, most of you, I'm sure, will have had some kind of background knowledge of who Jesus is, through, even if it's just through school assemblies. We have a generation now that's growing up that knows nothing about Jesus. And they desperately need to hear. And it's not just the young people. Actually, there are people our age who they just know nothing. They know nothing about Jesus. And part of me thinks that's tragic. A part of me thinks, actually, there's something about that that's really good. Because they haven't got all kinds of baggage around who Jesus is and kind of odd, weird ideas. Actually, that they're ready to hear the news for the first time. So people desperately need to know the good news. And here's the even better news, is that God has promised to save loads of them. You know that, don't you? Scripture says that there is going to be a multitude of people before Jesus on that last day when he invites them to come and enjoy God's glory for all eternity. God has chosen to bring many, many people into his family and into eternal life through Jesus. And he's chosen us and he promises to empower us to have the privilege and joy of helping others receive this for themselves. So that's the promise. And the gospel, Jesus, is powerful to save and to transform lives. Romans 1:16. Really well known verse, many of you will know it, says this: the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. That's the way we find salvation. That's the way we find eternal life. It's the way we're brought back into relationship with God as our Father that he created us for. It's through Jesus. The gospel is great news because it's powerful to save people. So why the urgency? Because people don't know. Because God's promised to save many. Because the gospel is the tool that he uses to do that. And honestly, people just need to hear. Because again, Romans 10 says, how can people believe if they haven't heard? But we have the privilege and the joy of being able to share that with people. So here's the question. We had Bridget stand here, was it last week or the week before? Just saying she'd been chatting with a friend who'd been kind of, she was walking with her, and she said, look, Bridget, I've been watching you, and I want to know how you're able to kind of walk through all the things you're doing in the way that you are. How is that? And Bridget was able to say, she was just able to share the hope that she has in Jesus. Now, we don't often get something quite as big an open goal as that, do we? I mean, that is your proverbial tap-in, isn't it? I know it's the start of the football season, but someone coming up to you and saying, look, what do you believe? We don't often get that. But actually, we do have lots of opportunities to share bits about what we know. So here's the question. I'd like you to take a minute or two, just where you are, maybe just chat with the person next to you. How would you explain what you believe as a Christian? So imagine you got 2 minutes with someone. Okay, they're waiting for the bus. It's due in 2 minutes. I know that probably means you've got 20. But imagine it. We're in another country where buses run on time. And you got 2 minutes. Okay, just think, what are the key things that you would want to share with them or explain? Try and explain to them about what you believe. So go, have a think, have a talk to the person next to you, and then we'll just write a few ideas down on the sheet here. Amazing feat of strength as I just lifted that. So please do chat just for a minute. Okay, so let's just have a few thoughts. It may just be a word or a phrase. I don't want someone to give me the whole gospel, okay? But just shout out a few things that you think would be really key. What would you want someone to know about what you believe as a Christian? Go.
Love to be your
okay, thank you. Someone else? Hang on, let's say one at a time. David?
There is a God.
There is a God, okay. There is a God. He loves you. You can be his friend. Okay. Anything else? You've had a go, David. Excellent, but let's get someone else. Someone else was saying. Okay, so he, he gives us strength. So he has the power to transform our lives. Thank you, Sylvia. Anything else? Okay. Not separation by God, separation by sin from God. Okay, yeah, thank you. Sorry?
Infinite wisdom.
Yeah, God is infinite wisdom, he knows best. Oh, that's good, yeah. I put God knows best because I'm not sure I'd spell infinite right. Is that okay, Ray? We know what you mean. Anyway, yeah, thank you.
Jesus.
Oh, okay. Came, died, rose, coming back. Great stuff. Brings forgiveness. Okay. The R word. Okay. He makes us right. Okay, I reckon I can spell it. Reconciliation. Okay, makes us right with God, with himself. Okay, we're almost there. Okay. Okay, so he's close. He's available. That's brilliant. Okay. Yes. He has no favourites. Thank you, Jean. That's really important. Okay. Okay, there is a sense, isn't there, that the gospel is so huge, so amazing, such a vast treasure store that actually the thought of trying to explain it in 2 minutes is pretty daunting, almost impossible. And we've got a lot of the stuff on here. And so what I want to do just for a couple of minutes is just talk us through a very kind of simple way of remembering the gospel, and then just say a few things about how we share the gospel. So how do we get all that into 2 minutes? Try and get a nutshell. Well, you might have heard the gospel described in this way. It's called the 4 points, with 4 words: God, man, Jesus, and response. If you're not familiar with that, you might be familiar with those symbols. Have you seen that? Have you seen wristbands or kind of clothing? You can buy these, okay? So if you want to know how to share Jesus, why don't you buy some wristbands and a hoodie? You'd all look great in a hoodie, okay? With that emblazoned across the front, so that as you walk around in Tesco, people go, what's that mean? And there's your open goal. So what then? So if we were to explain, it starts with God, doesn't it? Okay, there is a God. There is a God. We have to start with the fact that we believe there is a God, not just any God, but he's the creator, he's the source of all life. He's not a harsh ruler, he is a ruler, he rules all. But he is perfectly good, and not just perfectly good, but perfectly loving, and that he knows you and he loves you. See, lots of people, if they have any concept of God, it's as someone as distant. It's someone who's a judge. It's someone who's cold. It's someone who looks at us disapprovingly. What have we heard this morning? God looks at us like, well, vintage car, if you're vintage, he loves you. He loves you. That's vital. And he's made us for relationship with him. That's the purpose of life. God's made us. So there's your starting point. God, we believe there's a God. This is what we believe he's like. Second part, man. Here's something else we said. See, we all have a choice. God's given us a choice of how we relate to him. And the sad truth is that we choose to live our way. Now, Frank sung about it. We like to do it our way. That means we reject God and we reject his ways. And the Bible calls that sin. Now, here's a really important thing if we're trying to explain what we believe to someone who has no concept, is we've got to be really careful about the words we use. Because sin means very little, or if it means something, it's probably a wrong thing. So if we do use a word that isn't an everyday word, then we need to be careful to explain what it means. And sin is actually an old archery term. It means missing the mark. And the fact is that we all fall short of God's standard. And if people say, well, I'm not that bad, and we run the course Christianity Explored, and there's a brilliant illustration in it where the person who's on the video asks you to imagine that there is a film of your life where every part of your life has been recorded, and you're together with all your friends and your family, all the people you know, and then up pops this huge screen and there starts to play on it the video of your life, and how you'd feel about that. Now, probably some bits in that video that we would be quite proud of. We want everyone to see. I would imagine there are lots, if it's anything like my story, that I would squirm and not want people to see. Because we all choose our own way instead of God's way. We all fall short. And the last part is there's consequences to that. This is really important. And there are two main consequences. So much pain and suffering in the world is caused by us being selfish, isn't it? Choosing our own way, not thinking of other people, not thinking of the way that God has said we're to live our lives. But the key thing is that it separates us from God. Our rebellion, our rejection of God separates us from him, not just in this life, but for eternity. Because one day we're all going to die and we're going to have to give account to God of how we've lived our lives. And if we've chosen to live this life separate from God, then the Bible says that's going to be our eternal destiny. That's going to be our eternal fate. But, so that's the bad news. See, you've got to have bad news for the good news to really seem like good news. Yeah? So, actually, it's important that we mention that bit and the consequences of it. Okay? It's like someone said, you know, if you've got a diamond, best way to show it off is to put it against a black background. Yeah? Good news is really good news when you see how bad the bad news is. But here's the good news. is that though God is perfectly just and can't leave any sin, we've explained that word, so we know what it is, so we can use that, undealt with. And that's important. And actually, we all have a strong sense of justice, don't we? That actually, if someone has done something wrong, we want justice to be done. Apart from if it's us, but generally, we want justice to be. God is perfectly just, so he can't leave the wrong things, the selfishness, our rebellion, undealt with. But God is so loving that he doesn't want us to have to face the consequences of what we've done. He is a God full of love, as we said earlier. And he doesn't want anyone to be separated from him. He wants us all to know him as our perfect, loving Father. And there's only one way that that's possible, for God's demand for justice and his love and mercy to be satisfied. And that is for someone else to act as a substitute for us and to pay the punishment for us. And so we just need to talk about Jesus. This is how God demonstrates his love and his mercy, in that he stepped into our world and he became human in the person of his son, Jesus. And he lived a perfect life. He came to show us what God is like. The Bible says you want to know what God is like, you need to look at Jesus. And that's really important, isn't it? Because you can talk about God, and that's a very kind of, for a lot of people, that's a very vague thing. That can mean lots of things until we start talking about Jesus. We want to know what God's like, the Bible says. We look at Jesus and we look at his life to see what true life is like and can be like. But here's the key thing, that Jesus acted as a substitute for us. Okay, you don't have to be a football fan to know what that word means. Someone who steps into the place of someone else. And we just say about Jesus how he is lived the perfect life, the only person who's ever done so, and yet willingly laid down his life to take our punishment and the judgment that we deserved on himself on the cross for us. Everything that we deserved was put on Jesus on the cross. All our sin, all the punishment we deserved, our shame, our guilt, so that in exchange God could offer us everything that Jesus has. His perfect life, his perfect relationship with God, eternal life. And that's the great news. And then also remembering, didn't just come and die, but God raised him to life again as final proof to us to prove Jesus was who he said he was. And then last of all, response. Because a gift is only good if we receive it. And God offers us the gift of life and forgiveness and being made right with him. But we all have to choose what our response is. Do we receive it? Do we reject it? And how do we respond if we choose to receive it? Again, just a simple way of remembering. ABC, if we're willing to admit that we have sinned, that we need rescue, that we need to be made right with God, to believe, to put our trust in Jesus and what he's done for us. And then to confess, to repent. Okay, here's another word that we don't often use in everyday language. It means to turn around. Instead of choosing to go our own way, we're saying, I'm going to choose to go God's way. Okay, and make him king of our lives. Okay. Another way of remembering it is about saying. It's about saying sorry. Sorry for what we've done wrong, for what it cost Jesus. Saying thank you for treating me in a way that I don't deserve. For offering me new life through Jesus. Offering another chance. And please, please will you forgive me. Please will you give me your gift of new life. Please will you fill me with your spirit and empower me to live life your way. Because it's really important, because lots of people think being a Christian's about trying harder. It's not. I can't, as much as I try hard, I can't live God's way. I can only do it if he empowers me, if he puts power inside of me to be different. So there we are. So God, man, Jesus response. It's just a simple way of remembering. It's grace. It's not deserved or earned. But explaining the gospel is more than just about a sales pitch or a patter. Okay, as well as we kind of know the gospel, there's no good just being able to kind of reel it off. Okay, it's not just a sequence of steps. They are important. It's important for us to be able to kind of explain it simply in straightforward language what we believe, but it's not a sales pitch. It's not a patter. Here's another really important thing. We mustn't water it down. It's very tempting to try and think, well, gospel seems a bit hard. I mean, it's good news, but it's quite hard in places. Perhaps we should just tone it down a bit. Okay, ease people in gently. Well, the Bible has something very strong to say about that. It says if we try, then we rob the gospel of its power. I don't want to get on a hobby horse, but I've heard people say, well, you shouldn't ever mention hell. People today, that will put them right off. Okay? Now, I'm aware there's a wide range of opinion in the church about the nature, the consequences of death and judgment for those who reject Jesus. But Jesus talked a lot about hell, about it being a real place, somewhere awful, somewhere final, where there were no second chances, no get-out clauses. Some people say, well, if you talk about hell, you'll put people off. Well, now, we can choose very carefully about how we talk about it and the language that we use. But if we ignore it, if we ignore the bad news, then all we're doing is we're offering people a slightly better version of the life they've got now. If there's no consequences to the way we live, no consequences to sin, no judgment, then all we're doing is saying, come to Jesus, he'll give you a better life. And actually, lots of people are really happy with their lives. They're really quite content. So if we ignore the whole consequences of sin, then where's the power in the gospel? Or some people say, again, is a little bit of a bugbear of mine, just pray the prayer and you'll be saved. Okay, the idea of a sinner's prayer. Now, don't get me wrong, the heart behind that is absolutely right. We need to make a personal, definite response to Jesus. But Jesus never talked about praying a prayer to find salvation. Okay? He called people to follow him. He called people to pick up their cross and to die to themselves and to find new life in him. He said, you know a tree, not by the prayer it prays, by the fruit. So I think we just need to be careful that we don't emphasize this whole thing of sinner's prayer at the expense, again, of watering it down, that to follow Christ is a commitment. It's your whole life. Say, I'm dying to my old life, and I'm living in the new, amazing life that God offers. It's really important we don't offer a weak, watered-down gospel. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, let me just read this. I'm going to bring it into land. Again, really, really well-known verses, but just sums this up. It says, for the message of the cross is foolishness. See, it is. It's foolishness to those that are perishing. Well, I think, who's going to receive a message like this? It's foolishness. But to those who are being saved, it's the power of God. And it says, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom didn't know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached through the gospel about Jesus to save those who believe. I said, in Paul's context, he said, Jews, they're always demanding miraculous signs. And Greeks, they're always looking for human wisdom. He said, but we preach Jesus crucified. It's a stumbling block to some, it's foolishness to others, but to those whom God has called, Jesus is the power of God for their salvation and the wisdom of God. So we don't have to make the gospel more palatable. Last thing is, we don't need to force feed it to people. Okay, just being able to explain the gospel doesn't mean that we have to explain it all at once to someone. If we get a little opportunity, I've got to give you the whole thing right now. Because we're not doing this on our own. Okay, we're working with God. God is the one who prepares the opportunities. He's the one who prepares people's hearts. You see, you may only get one sentence into your explanation of the gospel and someone might say, I have a question. Well, why? Okay, and at that point, We don't want to say, oh, I'm just going to ignore your question, I've got to get through my, my four words or explain the gospel. Actually, we can trust God. If God's given us an opportunity to speak to someone, and they've got a real question, now you may not feel you're really able to answer it very well, in which case you just listen to them and you say, that's a brilliant question. Can I come back and have a think about that and come back and talk with you? Okay? Because unless a person is a complete stranger, you can have another opportunity to talk to them. And even if they are a complete stranger, if God's arranged for you to have a chance to speak to them, he's going to arrange for other people to do the same. So we haven't got to force feed people to the gospel. We've just got to ask the Holy Spirit, would you, you know, as you get an opportunity, Holy Spirit, help me. So it's as simple as that. And then be confident that he will lead you. So, finally, I'm going to finish now. How should we share the gospel? Okay, very simply. Simply. We have to share simply. Most of us feel pretty inadequate, don't we, about talking about Jesus? I do. We're not very eloquent. Maybe we think I'm not very good at thinking on my feet if people have questions. But actually, to talk simply and to talk a bit less and to listen a bit more is not a bad thing. Now, God said to Moses when he told him to go speak to Pharaoh, and Moses said, I'm a slow talker. I stumble over my words. God said, look, I'll give you the words at the right time. I'll tell you what to say. Jesus promised it to his disciples, didn't he? He said, when the opportunity is there, when you're needing to give an answer, the Holy Spirit will help you. Just be really simple. Okay? Sometimes just speaking simply and try this whole thing of kind of what words we use. Just really important. Keep it simple. So, for instance, grace. We all know what we mean by grace, don't we? God treats us how we don't deserve. Okay? Here's a really simple explanation of grace. I think it's really helpful. What makes Christianity different from every other religion? Every other religion talks about what we need to do to be made right with God. Christianity is all about what Jesus has done for us and receiving it. So there we are. That's, if you've got a bit of paper and a napkin, do done. Personally, a testimony. You know, we love hearing stories of what God's doing in our lives. It's just so important that we get used to talking about what God's doing in our lives in really simple, accessible ways. Not just here, when it builds faith up, but actually, okay, what other opportunities have I got to talk to others about what God's doing in my life? You see, someone can argue with you about theology, about the gospel. They can't argue with you about your testimony, about what God's done in your life. It's a powerful proof of reality of the truth of the gospel. You can't argue with it. With gentleness and respect. You know, a verse in 1 Peter that says, always be ready, finishes by saying, and when you do it, when you share the gospel, do it with gentleness and respect. We're not out to win arguments. We're not out to prove ourselves more clever. These are people who need Jesus. They need to hear the good news. Most of us have received Christ because someone was willing to take that step of sharing him with us. So we need to do it with gentleness and respect. We need to do it confidently, because the gospel is the power of God for salvation. We need to do it prayerfully, asking God for opportunities, asking for the Holy Spirit to help us. We need to do it intentionally. Okay, that's really important. How can we be a bit more intentional about it? It might be as simple as trying to think, okay, well, when I go into the office on Monday and people say, what did you do at the weekend? Saying, well, I went to church and it was great. Or I went to church and you know what? Someone was talking about how they were healed by receiving prayer. There are all kinds of different things. Or someone said something in church that really kind of spoke to me. Last year, Anne and I went to a funeral of an old friend. She died young. It was an amazing Christian funeral, full of hope, full of joy. Do you know what? That very next day, I was with a guy who didn't know Jesus. He said, what you been up to? I said, I went to a funeral yesterday. And he's kind of, you know, that kind of sympathy face. I said, it was amazing. What do you mean it was amazing? Open goal. In every way we can. Words works wonders. We know I don't need to talk about that. Be prepared for the response. You know, some people will receive it, some people will reject it. It's not you rejecting, it's Jesus. We just need to be prepared for that. So what do we need to ask for? We need to soak ourselves in the gospel, don't we? We need to be excited about the gospel, about what Jesus has done for us. Yeah, John Piper says you can't commend what you don't cherish. Okay, if your life is full of joy in God and you're passionate about Jesus, man, that will seep out. That will seep its way out. Boldness, we need the Holy Spirit, don't we? Jesus promised you receive power to be my witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes on you. We just need to keep praying for more of the Holy Spirit and grace. We're not doing this, we're not sharing the gospel because we have to, not because it's our duty, not because we're earning favour with God. It's a response to God's goodness to us. Paul said, it's God's love that compels me. And he was talking about sharing Jesus with others. He says, no other reason I do it other than I'm compelled. God's love is so real, so alive in me. It's made such a difference that, it's like rocket fuel. It just, I need to share it with others. So there we are. Let's wrap up there. Let's just pray. If you've got children, can I encourage you to go and get them now, please? Yes, Pat. If you've got kids, can you go and get them? Because our workers have been...
When you were at the funeral...
Yes.
The day after when you were speaking to this...
Yes.
Did you say you were a Christian?
Yes.
In the beginning?
Well, he actually knew I was a Christian.
Okay.
So...
I wondered where that came in to when you're having a conversation with him.
Okay. So... you know, I said, obviously, you know, I didn't say, it was wonderful, it was the best thing ever. You know, I said how sad it was. You know, this is a dear friend from a long time ago. She'd died. She'd been ill. But it was just the most amazing service because she was a Christian. She knew that when she died, she was going to see God. She was going to go to heaven. And I said, the funeral was just full of people who had that same hope. And it was just an amazing celebration, not just of her life, but the hope she had. So that was, yeah. Okay. Anyone else got any questions? The risk of gone to go get kids, so. Okay, let me just pray for us. Can I do that? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this amazing news that we have. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The gospel is Jesus. We love Jesus. We're so thankful, Jesus, for all you've done for us. Lord, I pray, Lord, that your love would so fill us, Lord, that we would so soak ourselves in the gospel, be so full of worship and thanks and praise to you, so full of what you've done, Lord God, that would just compel us to want to talk about it. Lord, not just here, not just with each other, but with those who don't know you. Thank you for the opportunities that you prepare for us. We ask, Holy Spirit, give us boldness. Give us boldness to take those opportunities and help us. Just give us the simple words to say, I pray. Thank you, Lord, that when we take that simple step of faith, we are stepping into a dynamic of the kingdom of God of power. Lord, where you're at work by the power of your Spirit. It's not about how eloquent we are. The power of what we say, it's your gospel. It's Jesus. It's the power to save. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you know we long to see many people come to know you. Lord, we want our baptisms every month. Lord, we want this place full. Lord, because there are so many people who need to hear and receive the good news. So thank you, Lord. It's your plan to save many. Thank you for including us, for making us messengers of this great news. Help us, we pray, Lord. Amen. Amen.